from my radio.
Pioneers never met a mystery with which we could not live.
I can see my town from here.
And pick your own eye. That's right.
Through every flawless snowflake.
Explosives.
It's about the time that we take to be clear.
Here's Scott Taylor saying Merry Christmas.
That is to see clearly.
Christmas is real, guys. And I don't hate nobody.
Love melts the cold. Even the Snow Queen.
You ought not to have done it, gentlemen. I'm speaking precisely to you, Mr. Nicholas and Frost. You presumptuous Papillons. Yes, Maxine, you are correct. You meddlesome, loathsome sapiens ought not to have interfered with my exploits. I'm coming for you both. Then I shall bring down Tyna, Arctos, and then all of Christmas. Beware! I am full of indignation. I am filled with revenge. I am full of...
Nonsense! It's all nonsense, no matter who this travel and leisure columnist may be. There is no fairer region within God's snowy north than Arctos, and no more hospitable village than Tyna. If you ever needed a champion to stand against this peculiar darkness that's been looming around town, look no further than yours truly, Mike Thunder.
My kind.
You better believe it, Tyna, you're my kind of town. Amplitude modulation 1400 KARC, the circle.
The Arctic radio station everybody's ever dreamed of owning.
Sir, no, sir!
Ouch! Okay, maybe not owning, but you are interested, aren't you?
We're going to blast the goodness of this Christmas Eve day into that blasted winter darkness, and soon we'll all be riding high once more. Are you with me, Tyna? I heard that. I know you are. Mr. Schimmel, what do you say this fine morning?
I'm shimmeling, Mikey Thunder, here to shimmel the wrong with a holy day song. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. No dreaming necessary, huh, Mikey? Not an Arctos. We got snow. What's that? That's right, more snow coming at us all night.
Weatherman Schimmel, you're always an absolute joy.
I hear those sleigh bells jingling, chim chim shimmeling too. Die, die, dee, die, die,
oh,
die, 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 die.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Schimmel. Merry Christmas.
I'm Tom Bobbitt. Y'all tired of hearing those two chipmunks yammer on about the east side of the ancient road and the west side of the same dang road? Well, what's that got to do with y'all? At the Tyna Hourly Motel, we offer only what you're after. Sleep. A nice clean bed and sleep. Also, we're conveniently located smack dab next to the Tyna Cafe. And now that that particular patron stormed out for some blessed reason, I feel real good asking y'all back again. I'm Tom Bobbitt, and I'll leave a northern light on for you.
Meanwhile, back at the Tyna Cafe, it's the late breakfast crowd.
Good morning.
The script calls for a patron one and a patron two.
Good morning.
Hi, I'm patron one. Friends. Friends, you know what? That angry woman that stormed out of the motel next door? We never did catch her name, did we?
Look, Patron One, out the window. What sort of storm is that that's rolling into town?
Lord have mercy, Patron Two. That's weird even for Tyna. It's like a knockdown, drag-out wrestling match between that inky dark smoke and those joyous clouds of white.
Say, Patron One, that was so beautiful how you said that. Are you doing anything for Christmas Eve? Tonight?
Director's notes. The morning leans into high noon. Before anybody's confront one another on 34th Street in Tyna, the essence of their persons roll down the road, manifesting clouds of darkness and clouds of light. The dark clouds are so malevolent that they are distinctly visible apart from the Arctic night. Both manifestations blind any onlookers as to what is truly taking place. but it is indeed taking place. At one end of town, the camera swings in a wide circle, showing Nicholas poised like a gunslinger, ready to do battle. Not far from his side stands Frost, clutching a staff of ice or something very like it. It streams Arctos blue and white, as if it were too ready to fight. At the other end of 34th Street stands Ginger. A dark crimson light throbs beneath her feet. With each pulse, a ghastly wind of unbearable fire and heat flap her garments and her wiry hair.
Remember, Nicholas, you brought this moment down upon you and your village. For you will die, and I will yet remain to reign and rule this underrated snow fort, not even worthy of a spot on the map.
Ah, filthy demon. Frost, let's roll.
I heard that.
Groovy children, feeling righteous and groovy this solid afternoon of Christmas Eve day. And I'm nearly coming unglued with expectation for the next 14 days leading up to Orthodox Christmas. It's all too beautiful. Oh yeah! It's all too beautiful. Indeed, indeedy. From my radio tower swivel chair just a mile outside of our village, I am looking down, oh, little town of Tina. How still we see. What the dickens?
Merry Christmas, Tina.
Rojestvo Christovim, Tina.
We know what you're thinking out there. That this is indeed some sort of Christmas miracle. And, well, it is!
Sean and I are both here to let you know that this crazy storm is moving.
And there's the truth, folks. It's moving from town right on up the ancient road. Pavel and I both, in the spirit of Christmas, want you all to get off the road and into safe lodging.
Da, comrade. So everybody, come get out of storm and into my tavern.
Or into my pub.
Where food and drink are at half price tonight.
We truly do want all Tina's lads and lasses to stay safe.
Come in now, Tina. Tina.
Be our guests.
Merry Christmas.
Director's notes. Our camera angle moves from the perimeter of the storm and into its center. Here in the eye of the storm, powerful forces battle. Battling with weapons not forged of earth or any matter known. If Nicholas and Frost were expecting Ginger to fall easily.
Easily. I hear it all the time.
The generally chill Blake easily is not so chill.
Easy, Blake, easy. Like the street.
Suddenly, the storm breaks through the studio window. Blake easily has come unglued. Jack Yukon rushes into the control room to take over.
Tina! Ah, tiny Tina. It's your good friend, Jack. Jack Yukon. Say that three times backwards and then go ahead and drink. Blake, get hold of yourself, comrade.
I think I just wet myself.
Easy, easy. Get hold of yourself. It happens to everybody at some... Well, I don't know that, but please go take care of yourself. Folks, if you heard Sean and Pavel a moment ago, I want you to take them seriously. Take their offer. Get off the roads. There is battle going on for Tina this Christmas Eve. Someone is trying to keep Christmas from coming.
Director's notes. A bird's eye view from inside the vortex created by the two opposing forces shows two figures resolutely facing off, stiff as statues. Mr. Frost stands close by Nicholas, ready to help at any moment.
Ginger, you and I both know that you cannot hope to stop Christmas from coming to Tina. What is this tantrum actually about?
Ah, honestly, Nicholas, you can be so simple at moments like these. From my side of the battle, it is never about winning. There is no such thing as the darkness ever winning. It is about the damage that may be wrought along the way.
Well, then why Tina? Where your power is nerfed and the strength of your opposition so impenetrable?
Tell me, Nicholas,
Why keep Frost around? He's a cute hood ornament, but not terribly clever.
I don't know, Ginger, from where I stand. Well, there's the point. We're not truly standing now, are we? We have slowly been moving through town and on to the ancient road. We're nearly at the two cathedrals now, which...
Now, which? What? Where? Where? What?
That's right. You're a mean one, Ginger. But Mr. Frost, well, he's all sorts of clever.
Thank you, my friend.
Not at all. Not at all, Mr. Frost. It is time. Please fetch Grandfather.
Nicholas raises his hands outstretched, not towards Ginger, but towards the arcane firmament above them all. The veil begins to change from an opaque to a translucent quality. With quick glances, Ginger notes the change but focuses upon holding her ground. Nicholas also keeps his focus, but also nods in the direction of Mr. Frost, indicating that he may now proceed. Through the diminished vortex, Ginger recognizes the cathedrals in the distance. She can make out the form of Frost running to them. She can't help but be curious. She has no doubt this will end badly for her, but she is more interested at this point in knowing what sort of power will come forth from the truly ancient monolith of those two beacons.
Tainochka, Pax Christi, silent night, my dear Goya. I know this has been stressful night. Many things happening around us which we do not comprehend, but we have one another and so we are strong. It is my understanding that many of you have gathered at Sean's pub in Pavel's tavern. Within those blessed walls, I am sure it feels like Christmas has always. But say a prayer and light candle, my friends, for you know that the guardians of Arctos are busy doing their job this night. Pray for them. Lift loving cup to them. Na zdorovya! This remind me about old Russian story of Snegurochka. The Frost Maiden. Now there was a rough story. Her entire life had been bitterly cold. And Nicholas, yes, our very own Nicholas. That particular Christmas Eve had not been pleasant picnic for him either. But the good Lord always has his plan, and we seldom understand why all these things happen as they do. Gospodi pomiloy, gather round your fires and let me tell new generation how little Snegurochka came to Taina.
Director's notes. The disturbing sound that once accompanied Ginger's presence are gone. In its place, there is a certain triumphant music slowly building.
Do you hear that, Ginger? That is the sound of a certain triumphant music slowly building.
Yes, and it annoys us, doesn't it, Maxine?
Hey, Ginger, leave that dog alone. Why not set her free now, before your end comes? Or are you so merciless and self-absorbed that you would subject that poor creature to your fate?
Maxine rouses long enough to look up at Ginger, just in case there was some slim chance of a release. Before Ginger can muster a pithy retort, the sound of distant bells begin to pour forth from the two cathedrals. The initial sound is soft and pleasant, but there is a vibration to them that builds and increases over time. From the middle of the two cathedrals, a solitary figure emerges. He is a giant of a man. Beautiful Marian blue robes cover him. His long white hair and beard appear soft like fresh downy snow. With each step, he draws closer. With each step, the resonation of the bells increases. For Nicholas, this brings an otherworldly sense of peace throughout. For Ginger, however, it brings a feeling that her head might literally explode. The vortex is nothing more than a thin shell now, and it begins splintering and then comes crashing down. But no part of it lies on the ground. As it falls apart, it turns into nothing but mist and vanishes. Now the large figure of this mystery man stands near Nicholas. He calls out to Ginger.
Succubus! Slave of the darkness! Come to me!
No, I think not.
Woman!
The man commands, and immediately Ginger has blinked from where she stood to a position in front of the man.
Do you know who I am?
No, am I?
Do you?
The grandfather.
You cannot utter my name, can you?
I would cease to exist.
Then I shall say it for you. I am Grandfather Frost. I am the Archangel of Arctos. I stand in the presence of the king, but my eye is always over this land.
Yes, yes. Quite taken with yourself, this we can see.
Oh, creature of small mind, you are the lowest rung on the ladder to Gehenna. Like an insect with no self-awareness, you move and live and have your being in the shadow of your master. I will give you this one chance.
What? To take my confession? To welcome me into the flock? I should say not. Not!
Very well!
Grandfather Frost announces and brings his staff down with a mighty thud. He, along with Nicholas, Ginger, and Maxine, too, are transported to a high place among the peaks of Mount Arctos. Before them lies a cave glistening with frozen blue so dense it pronounces its own impenetrable strength.
Oh, what is this then? You're going to lock us up?
No. Leave the dog with us. Maxine, you may come with us, and we will undo the evil that has been perpetrated upon you.
To our surprise, perhaps, but not to the surprise of anybody gathered on that mountain, little Maxine lunges from the arms of her mistress. On the ground, she rolls around, toiling with great discomfort. Suddenly, the little dog shifts into the shape of a little girl, but only a transparent specter of herself.
Dearest Maxine, sweet child, we know the pain. We know the pathology wrought upon you. Please, come. Come with us now, and know the healing of this blessed eve.
The little girl has no words, no voice. But her eyes are sad, and she pleads with outstretched hands, not that they would take her away with them, but that they should let her be.
Silly puny men. Save the girl, and you think she is going to leave me and go to men who did this to her. Perhaps I am the clever one then, Nicholas?
We cannot force her, and she is obviously not ready.
Grandfather Frost weeps silently for a moment. Then he gathers himself together and announces,
Very well. To your prison, Ginger.
An invisible force relocates Ginger just inside the cave. Huge cylinders of cobalt ice shoot out from the cave walls and block the entrance with immovable certainty.
When I return, we will continue our conversation. If I find Maxine further harried and damaged by you, ice cave prisons would be the least of your worries. Nicholas, return to Tina. You must minister to her wounds. She does not comprehend all that was carried out in heavenly places this night. They will need their bishop. Love them, Nicholas. Comfort them.
A blessed nativity of Christ, Tina, and all of Arctos. I'm Mike Thunder with a special edition of our show here on Christmas Eve on the Orthodox calendar. Here on this holy occasion, we are blessed to have with us in the studio one of our favorite singer-songwriters who has his own deep ties to Arctos. Join me in welcoming Terry Scott Taylor to our show tonight.
Hey, thank you. It's my pleasure and honor to be with you today.
For the last year or two, you've been cultivating a special audience using Patreon. Why don't you share a little bit about that? I'm fairly sure there are some people listening today who are getting their first experience with you and your music.
If you go on the internet to Patreon, which you spell P-A-T-R-E-O-N, and you type in Terry Scott Taylor, you'll be able to check it out. And if interested, you become a member of our incredible Patreon family. As a member, you'll have access to newly composed songs, which I've recorded there. as well as reinterpretations of classics from Daniel Amos, Swirling Eddies, and some of my solo stuff. In other words, there's a lot of, a lot of goodies you can get in on, including a current podcast that my son Andrew and I are doing, which explores the world of Daniel Amos. I tell anecdotes about the road, about the studio. We talk about the various recordings that we've done, what inspired certain songs, the shenanigans that went on in the studio. So there's a lot of really great stuff there that our Patreon members all seem to really enjoy. So you can get in on that.
Well, I can tell you that we love Uncle Terry and the Thunder Household, but we also asked you here today on this special day to bring back an older song and maybe tell us how it came into being.
I did a acoustic version of this song on Patreon. You're about to hear the original version. It's a song I call A Song for the Day After Christmas, and hope you enjoy it.
Here's a gift for the day after Christmas, when the presents have been opened and your spirit has crashed, when all the colored lights are turned off and the Yule log is an ember, and you've returned that crap to Kmart and the trees in the trash. Hold on to the season's inspiration, more than a sweet memory, more than you'll touch, yeah. He's the sun, he's the one, he's the wondrous incarnation. Makes each day a little holiday, makes holy each new year. Pa la la la, pa la 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 la, pa la la la, pa la 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 la. Now the Christmas snow is melting and the mundane days they roll by. Silent night's been silent since the angel choir is gone, but you'll still hear them singing if your heart will only listen. They sing every day is Christmas, it's Christmas all year long. They sing hold on to the season's inspiration, more than a sweet memory, more than you'll touch, yeah. He's the sun, he's the one, he's a wondrous incarnation, makes each day a little holiday, makes holy each new year. Fa la la la, la 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 la. Baby Jesus now is boxed up, and the wise men aren't so smart. All they can do is hibernate and dream there in the dark of their countless trips to Bethlehem, one they'll make again. Still most time they spend in boxes where the starlight can't get. Here's a song, here's a gift for the days after Christmas, when the credit card's been maxed out and the bills are piling high, and the children are less grateful and the wife is tired and worried. Nat King Cole's worn out his welcome and you're fat on pumpkin pie. You gotta hold on, inspiration, more than a sweet memory, and more than you'll touch here. He's the sun, he's the one, he's the wondrous incarnation, makes each day a little holiday, makes holy each new year.
This is Terry Scott Taylor saying thank you everybody, it was my pleasure to be with you today, and Merry Christmas, Tynatown.